Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello there, friends, and I think it's time to finish off the trilogy, shall we? It's time to look at How Not to Be Wrong, The Art of Changing Your Mind, the most humbly titled James O'Brien book. Now, I have covered with Carl and Josh, now being replaced for this episode by Luca Johnson. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I think this is my real initiation, isn't it?
Yes, this is O'Brien. The trial by fire, is talking about James O'Brien for half an hour to an hour. And this will be a shorter one because we've covered the other two books in this unholy trilogy, which are How to Be Right, which is his book on how to berate your friends and family into becoming an insufferable Brit-lib centrist, and How They Broke Britain, which I was hoping to give some kind of insight into the legitimate criticisms that leftists may have towards some right-wing figures, like actually going through their history, pointing out legislation and actions they've taken which have reasonably damaged the country in very legitimate ways, but it was instead just James O'Brien whining about people that he didn't like for personal reasons. This is going over the same kind of arguments. There's nothing in here in terms of like what he's talking about in the subjects that isn't well-trodden ground. Especially there is a chapter at the end of here called Trans. It's the second to last chapter before the conclusion. And if you remember the How to Be Right book club, there was a chapter on trans in that as well, which completely negates this one. It's the same chapter. It's the laziest thing ever. What is more interesting in this book, outside of the arguments, which aren't what I'm going to be focusing on, just assume you'd be correct. They are the same grating, bad faith, low information, low IQ arguments that we've seen in the other ones.
Just a quick thing. Is he still like putting transcripts of his LBC chats?
Oh, yes. I'll mention that.
Oh, right.
I'll mention that in a moment.
What a lazy, lazy...
Yes, what's most interesting about this book is in the way that How to Be Right was about how to berate and morally grandstand to your friends and family, How Not to Be Wrong is much darker than that, because it's how to berate and gaslight yourself into being an insufferable shitlib in a really, really dark way. What you're reading here is essentially is a transcript of a mind at war with itself. Before I get into any before I get into any more details on that, I will point out, as Carl said, there is still an incredible amount of laziness in this book. So not only is the overall word count, page count lower, this one's 219 pages. About 30% of the book, 65 roughly of those pages, are reproductions of the calls from his shows or letters from fans and other non-original material. One's a reproduction of a large promo that he delivered at the beginning of a show back in like 2009. So a lot of this is unoriginal material, like the same one. It might be a little bit off because one of them, here again is where it gets very, very dark, is not a reproduction of a transcript of a call. One of these is a new original piece that he wrote for this where he is creating a call between himself as presenter versus his own internal monologue, where he berates himself via this fake call into taking on more progressive, more liberal opinions, whereas clearly through his internal monologue, he would still be on the left, but he's there's a part of him that is still heavily influenced, somewhat at least, by his like Christian Catholic upbringing, into having some kind of traditional values, which he feels to be right, but which his alternative call presenter persona berates him into abandoning. It's very dark.
That's amazing.
Very, very dark. So I'll go through some of that. I'll go through it chapter by chapter and highlight some of the stuff. Luca, if you'd like to just flip through, we've done this the last few times. I've made plenty of notes.
You have.
In the margins, not all of them flattering. So you can
not all of them flattering.
Not all of them flattering. No.
Any of
There's
them
one
flattering.
Here where you've just got a note that says nope.
Nope. Yeah. there. Again, the actual arguments that he's presenting are the same that you've seen in all of his other books, so they can easily be dismissed through a basic rudimentary understanding of either human nature or the facts of what he's talking about, which is why it's very easy to just go through the margins and write, that's wrong, you're lying, various expletives. But so let's start off with the introduction is just him introducing everything. He's letting everybody know that he's such a good person. He's lampshading all of this with, if I get anything wrong, just know it's because I'm still ignorant in a few things,
and I've read my own book.
Yeah, I've not yet become as left wing on some subjects as I should be.
Yeah, the book on how not to be wrong hasn't yet been written. That's why I am writing it.
Yeah, and it's this very strange perspective, which I think we can see through all Brit libs, Lib Dem types like this, which is that your own instincts are inherently wrong.
Yeah,
the instincts that you've been developing through generations and generations of hereditary and evolution are somehow honed to be the exact opposite of what they should be, because what they should be is towing the leftist regime line on every subject. And if, like James O'Brien, there's still just a small holdover bit of you which is holding on to those instincts, like, for instance, one of the later chapters is called Tattoos, Private Schools and Marriage. And he says that he has this kind of instinct. It's chapter 5, if you want to go to it. Oh. He's got this instinctive feeling that he doesn't like tattoos and doesn't think they look professional. Okay. He thinks that private/public schools, as they are in the UK, are a good thing and shouldn't be taxed too much, and they shouldn't be taken away from the options of parents who can afford them. And he thinks that relationships based around marriage are more legitimate than ones based around just, oh, we're going out.
Fully reactionary then.
Yeah, fully reactionary. So he holds those views instinctually, and I can imagine they're a holdover from his Catholic upbringing. Yep. Yet. If you can pass me the book,
Of course.
I'll just read it here. It seems unlikely that the three subjects under scrutiny here have ever been lumped together quite like this before, but for me at least, they have something important in common. I am quite wrong about all of them.
That is amazing.
So literally, what you get there is this weakness in character, which is that I feel this way, but my liberal pals at afternoon dinner parties disagree with me and use my own tactics from how to be right to morally berate me about them. So I must go internally and convince myself that they must be right because I'm not being open and tolerant enough.
And
so,
lower the few standards I actually have.
It's a very strange weakness of character.
What's interesting there, though, is that a preference for private schools, tattoos, what was the other one, sorry?
Marriage.
These aren't actually like yes or no questions. These aren't deductively true or false. I mean, maybe the marriage one is actually, but like they're not like deductively true or false. These are more based in our prejudices, right? These are more based in what we feel is the right way to do things. And there are certain reasons. I mean, like, you know,
I would say with tattoos, and this is from somebody who is engaged to a woman with quite a few tattoos.
Yeah, my wife's got loads.
I quite like the look of tattoos. I do personally. Too. It depends how they look, but with a lot of people who I've seen with tattoos, you can tell from the kind of tattoos that they get and the reasoning that they give for them, even with my missus in a few cases, it's literally just spur of the moment, quick judgment, I just wanted it.
Yeah.
Which can show a certain kind of character, which
exactly.
is that you're impulsive. Now, you're impulsive, quick to snap judgments, which isn't always going to be a good reflection on you. And that's why you can have those inbuilt prejudices.
It's not that it doesn't have validity, but what it is what we're aiming to accomplish, right? What we are aiming to accomplish is a certain level of standards, right? And a certain, we're trying to cultivate a certain kind of character, right? But the kind of character we're trying to cultivate is exclusionary, right?
Oh, yeah.
It is deeply exclusionary. It's like, no, we believe there are certain kinds of character that are superior to other kinds of character.
Yes.
Now, these are all aesthetic and prejudicial judgments of our own, because, I mean, you know, technically, it's not necessarily that someone who has tattoos is a bad character or anything like this. It's just a general indicator that there are other issues. But hang on. Logically or like mathematically, you know, you can't deduce one from the other. What we do is we take a kind of holistic approach to the subject and make these kind of prejudicial judgments based on it. But generally they're correct, and it's generally correct for us to do this because we want to cultivate the certain kind of character over the other kind of character. And so there is no actual wrong in this. He can't say, oh, you wanting someone who's, you know, married without tattoos, that's wrong. You can't say that. All you can say is, I don't share that prejudice.
Well, he says inherently that, you know, he's got a couple of daughters and that he will be very unhappy and he won't be able to help it when they... He says it like it's just in the stars. Yeah, it's just set. Destiny. It's destined to happen that they will get tattoos.
Oh, will they?
At some point. And that he will be unhappy, but he'll be wrong. He'll be wrong to be trying to set standards for his daughters, which is the opposite attack that you should take as a father, especially a father of daughters, which is you need to be the one setting these standards. You can't just let your children walk all over you because, you know, children are very willful. They'll just do what they want unless you set the boundaries for them, and they'll keep pushing those boundaries unless you enforce those boundaries. So actually, if he actually follows through with the kind of parenting that he's going to go through here, and this feels like a very personal way to go about it, but this is just how I see it, he's going to be setting his daughters up to make bad decisions in the future if he doesn't set those and enforce those standards right now. And he also says that, you know, he feels bad that when he sees his friends who aren't married, that he feels like his relationship is in some way better than theirs.
It is, that's
but,
why.
Yeah, you've made a far stronger commitment than they have. So there are reasons.
And it's borne fruit.
Yeah, and there are reasons for this. But again, he posts... Unlike the last book, where he's reproducing these calls in which he's the one berating the evil bigot, he's the one who's taking the soapbox and standing on it and letting everybody know what a good person is. He's the one taking the reactionary position in many of these calls, and he's going, oh, I'm not quite so sure about that. I can't really logically explain it, but there's something in my gut that tells me I disagree with you. And he's the one getting browbeaten. These positions.
The Burkean defense of prejudice is so true, though. So for anyone who doesn't know, basically, Burke pointed out that the stock of wisdom of any individual man is actually relatively small, and so it's slightly less trustworthy. You know, it's informed by his personal prejudices and biases, particularly his prejudices, but his biases and his blind spots. But prejudice is the collective stock of wisdom that's been passed down to us through the ages. And so it's gone through many hands and through a long process of trial and error to find that actually that's probably not good, even if we can't rationally explain on a direct and immediate level why that's bad. If the general trend has been against it, then there's got to be a reason for that. And so it's probably safe to actually trust the prejudice in that case. And actually, it's hard to think of a prejudice in which that's not kind of true.
Well, right? That's the thing.
Even coming down to just different things being appropriate for one sex more than the other as well. It's like, you know, I'm not a tattoo guy. I don't find them in any way appealing. However, I can appreciate the fact that generally they're a masculine thing and that they've historically been associated with men. But now it's because, you know, we can't break... it'd be sexist to say that, you know, they were more for one than the other, then the women have to be entitled to them too. And it just looks very unfeminine.
I personally like tattoos.
Yeah, I was going to say, I personally like them.
That's a thing of mine, you know. That's not, but the thing is, I actually agree with the prejudice against tattoos.
Well, that's the thing as well. And that's what I was going to follow up on. appropriately, because I think he is quite a Burkean himself, Thomas Sowell has a very similar defense of prejudice in his book Discriminations and Disparities, where he's taking it from more of an empirical empirical stance on the amount of information that you can absorb relating to any one thing. And he says, listen, in your day-to-day, if you're going around doing the thing that you're supposed to, golden rule, judging everybody purely as an individual, then not only are you going to put yourself at risk because you're going to be putting yourself closer to people who might have bad intentions for you, you're also simply, on a logical level, not going to have enough time in the day to be able to do that kind of thing. So the prejudices that we have built up based on stereotypes will be correct 9 times out of 10, because they do give you an indication of the character of somebody. So if you see somebody who is in broad daylight, say,
got a face covering
in a hoodie, looking like they're trying to hide themselves, you're better off avoiding them
100%.
Rather than going and approaching them and trying to make them your best friend. So it's better, it's just a,
hearing that, David Cameron,
a more efficient way to pass the information that we experience in our day-to-day life, and also to keep yourself safer. That's one of the reasons. So you look at somebody with tattoos, and yeah, you can think of exceptions like my missus, your missus, people who have good character who've chosen to do them for their own reasons. But, again, 9 times out of 10, the kind of people, especially when they have them all the way up their neck
and on their face,
you can see that and go, okay, you're somebody who kind of doesn't respect your own body in a way, and makes these snap judgments, and also snap judgments that pile on top of one another because you run out of space on the rest of your body. So you part. So there's a way to judge people off the back of that. But James O'Brien... has decided that it's wrong to do so because that would be judgmental.
Okay, but the thing is, like, most of what we do every day is basically habitual anyway, right? As in, you've just, you know, I don't know, what did you have for breakfast this morning, Luca?
Sardines on toast.
Yeah, how much did you think about it?
Not at all.
Exactly.
What I had in the cupboard.
Exactly. You just, from habit, right, it's morning, I need some food, oh, here is some food, I'll make it, and I'll eat it. No rational calculation went into it whatsoever, right? Like, I did the same. Like, oh, I've got some olives and some hummus in the fridge. I'll just have a few of those before I walk to work, right? Like, I didn't think about it at all. No rational calculation. And 90% of our daily lives is basically this.
Yeah.
And that's all entirely formed by prejudice. Like, everything that we do. And it's just, you would, like, Thomas Sowell's absolutely right. You would have to spend so much of your day actually sitting down, right, and I have to think about this. I have to weigh up the pros and cons of both things and calculate what I'm going to do. No one does that. No one does that.
You're prejudicial about the small things, so it's even more important that you're prejudicial about the larger things.
Yeah.
And things again, the factor into safety.
The fact that stereotype accuracy is so accurate all of the time just bolsters all of these arguments. But again...
Sorry, just a quick thing, right? Like, you know the Bob Villain stuff? Where he's like, oh yeah, I had to go talk to my white mum. It's like, why didn't you talk to your black dad?
Yeah. If you enjoyed this piece of premium content from the Lotus Eaters, head to our website where you can find more.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.